for another awesome weekend. Thank you for another awesome day and waking us up here today. We praise your holy name here today. We ask for your blessings, Lord, on this study. Speak to us through your word. Open our eyes here today through your word as to what age and time and the signs of the times in which we live in here now. In Jesus' name we ask, amen and amen. We're going to hear something I preached about a year ago here today and tomorrow on this Monday and Tuesday. It's entitled The Days of Noah and the Days of Lot. I've preached it before, but hey, I could preach this thing every week and it would be different. And I believe this is going back around to the start of the coronavirus, I believe, from hearing some of the references. And so that's what we're going to hear today. I'll have the same opening play today, play here today and tomorrow. So if you hear this opening tomorrow, hey, stay tuned. You're going to hear the end of this message if it's Tuesday. If it's Monday, join us again here tomorrow. We'll wrap this up. And then come Wednesday, you'll hear the sermon I just preached the other day at Island Community Church. And that is a more sure word of prophecy. We're in the book of 2 Peter at church, and that's what we'll be hearing Wednesday and Thursday. Some good news on other ways to follow along with us. There's a new app for both the church and for WGOD. You can search for the WGOD radio in the App Store, or search for WGOD radio broadcast in the Android, in the Google Play Store. You can follow along. You can give financially, help support this radio ministry. You can listen live to the programming at WMIE. You can listen live to this program at 5:30 in the evening, right through the app on your phone, or tell a friend who lives in another side of the country they can listen in. So search and download that app now, WGOD Radio. And with the church, Island Community Church, FL. On there, you can watch the services live. They're streamed live at around 10:35 on Sunday morning and from 6 to 7 on Wednesday evening. Getting ready to wrap up the book of Revelation. We're in chapter 20 this Wednesday. Love to see you. So, okay, that's what's going on here in the ministry. I invite you to church. God's doing a great work at our church, and I'd love you to be a part of it. God honored to the uttermost our decision to keep our doors open during this pandemic and to trust in God and to do what Daniel did when the government told him to do something. The government told him not to pray. And he didn't make a big deal out of it. He just kept doing what he always did. And God blessed him for it. Likewise, the Lord's doing the same thing with us at the church and honoring our decision to keep our doors open and to trust in God in the face of adversity. You don't tell us to shut the church. We are, as we read in Romans 13, you're to obey the government when they put up a stop sign and when they ask you to pay taxes. But when they tell you now and they outlaw singing in church, that's a whole nother thing. When they say you can't sing or you can't go to church or your church is to be shut down, no, that's a whole nother thing. So, but that's sermon for another day. Here today, we're looking at, these are some of the signs. You'll know Jesus is coming back. The days of Noah, when things are here on terra firma, as they were when Noah was around, when they were marrying and giving in marriage, you'll know his return is near. Also, Lot, only in Luke are you able to read it. He says, likewise, as it was in the days of Lot. You'll hear that in this message here too. Enjoy today's program.
How about the second coming? Will he do likewise? What will happen then? Matthew chapter 24, where we were at, verse 40. Now, hear me. This is the same paragraph of him speaking when he was talking about the days of Noah. He hasn't changed subjects. It's the same paragraph, okay? This is all going to happen together. not separate. Chapter 24, verse 40 starts with the word then. Then two will be in the field. One will be taken, one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken, one will be left. See, always at just the right moment, deliverance precedes judgment. It happened in Noah's time. It happened in Egypt and Moses' time. The Lord said to all who keep his word that he will keep them from the hour of trial that's going to come upon the whole world. Isn't that good news? That God has promised not to treat you the same way as the Christ haters will be treated when this happens? The Bible says concerning those times and seasons, you've got no need that I write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly well the day of the Lord comes like a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. Notice the distinction there, verse 3. Notice there were they. When they say peace and safety, destruction comes upon them. They will not escape. Now verse 4, but you are not in darkness that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are sons of light. You are sons of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. Not drunk, not on meds, sober, able to think, able to hear from God. Satan's got everyone all doped up so you don't hear from God. I said, Satan's got everyone doped up so that you don't hear from God. I'm not talking about on something for an illness. I'm talking about doped up to get through life like I did for 20 years. This in Exodus 8. He said, in that day I will set apart the land of Goshen where my people dwell so that no swarms of flies will be there, so that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the land, and I will make a distinction between my people and your people. And tomorrow this will be. In other words, God takes care of his own. Either he'll take us out of the world or protect us in the world. God does not treat his believers the same way as he will all those that reject Jesus Christ. You won't be subject to the wrath that's going to fall upon an unrepentant world. He's either going to see you through it like he did before. Not even a cow was hurt. If you go back and read Exodus and the 10 plagues of Egypt, not even a cow was hurt. He'll either protect you through it or take you out of this world. God takes care of his own. Okay, lastly, how about the days of Lot? Lastly, it's only 11:15. Sorry for those visiting. We usually go a lot longer. That's all right. I'm not done yet. Never fear. I haven't phoned it in yet. Not in 9 years. I'm not going to start now. Luke chapter 17, back again to Luke, verse 26. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, drank, married wives, given in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Verse 28 starts with the word likewise. The likewise here is referring to destruction. The end result. Notice verse 27, it ends with destroyed them all. So does verse 29. Okay, likewise, as it was in the days of Lot. This is the only place you find this in the Bible. It's not in any other gospel where Jesus gave this other sign so that you'll know his return is near. Is when things were like they were in the days of Lot, that's how you'll know my return is near. They ate, they drank, they bought and sold and planted and built. But on the day Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven. And here comes the catchphrase, and destroyed them all. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, the righteous will be delivered, and everyone else will suffer destruction. Just as the entire world's population did, except for 8 people in the days of Noah. And like everyone in Sodom, except for 4 people, one of which, longing for the world, turned back and turned into a pillar of salt. That's verse 32. Remember Lot's wife. Maybe you say, oh, I don't believe that. Jesus says, remember what happened to Lot's wife. Rule number 1, if Jesus says it, you can bet your sweet bippy that it's truth. As he says, Jonah was 3 days, you know, I got all these fish stories. I didn't plan this. As Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Jesus said it. Believe it. It's true. Remember Lot's wife. So we looked at what characterized the days of Noah. So, question. What characterized the days of Lot? You know, on my cell phone, I got this ringtone. It's crickets. I think I need to play that right about now. Crickets? No one wants to say anything. What, are you afraid they're going to come and run you out? Do you hear what happened in California and Nevada on Friday? The Supreme Court ruled 5-4 not to allow any church have more than 50 people in it. Anytime the governor sees fit, or anytime there's a pandemic or during the coronavirus, until there is a cure. Now, they know it's going to be, if ever a cure, 5 years. And the judge that George Bush appointed, the Republican, joined forces with the 4 liberal judges, and they voted 5-4. Everyone else in Nevada is operating at 50% occupancy, but the church, they said, no, 50 people is all you can have. And this was a small church. This was a Calvary chapel that holds 80 people. Took this all the way to the Supreme Court and lost. Now no church can have more than 50 people in it. That's crazy. What characterized the days of Lot? Let's go to Genesis chapter 19. This will be scary, eerily similar. Genesis chapter 19. Now, 2 angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate at Sodom. Now when Lot saw them, he rose to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, "Hear now, my lords, please turn into your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet, so that you may rise early and go on your way." And they said, "No, we will spend the night in the open square." All right, God and 2 angels came down and visited Abraham in chapter 18. Abraham pleaded with God not to destroy Sodom. And that's when they had this famous conversation where Abraham says, well, maybe there's 50 good people there. Are you still going to destroy it for 50? And God said, all right, no, I won't. Abraham says, well, maybe there's 40 righteous people in it. Will you destroy it for 40? And God goes, okay, no, I won't. Abraham says, well, forgive me for asking, but maybe there's only 30 people there. Will you destroy this whole city for 30? If there's only 30, right? And God goes, no, all right, I won't. And then he's like, forgive me for asking. Say there's 20 righteous people in this city. Will you destroy the whole city if there's 20 righteous people in it? And God goes, no, I won't. So now by this time, he's down here. And he's like, forgive me for asking, but, you know, that's about where I would be. Forgive me for asking.
But let's say there's 10 righteous people in this town. Will you destroy this whole town if there's 10 righteous people in it?
And then he said, far be it from you to do that. You're not going to kill all these people because there's the righteous people still in here. Far be it from you. He said, far be it from you, the God of all the earth, to slay the righteous with the wicked. See, this is how we establish. This is how we know God will not treat you the same way as everyone else out here that spits in his eye. He won't treat you the same way. God said, no, I won't do it. If you find 10 righteous people in this whole town, I won't do it. So the two angels left. God stayed there with Abram. And then these two angels showed up. And that's the backdrop to chapter 19. That's what had happened when these two angels showed up. I said, all right, that was the end of that conversation. Now these two angels show up in Sodom. They get to the gate, and there is the guy Jesus was just talking about, Lot. Jesus said, when things are like they are on planet Earth, like they were when Lot was around, then you'll know that my return is very near. Now, the two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, this was a move of hospitality. When Lot saw them, he rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face to the ground. And he said, here now, my lords, please turn into your servant's house, spend the night, wash your feet. Then you could rise early and go on your way. And they, the two angels, said, no. We'll spend the night in the open square. But he insisted strongly. So they turned into him and entered his house. Then he made them a feast and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. Now before they lay down, the men of the city, listen to this. Everyone with me? I'm in Genesis 19, verse 4. Before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both the old and the young, all the people from every quarter surrounded the house. And they called the Lot, and they said to him, where are the men that came to you tonight? Bring them out so that we may know them carnally. So Lot went out to them through the doorway, shut the door behind them, and said, please, my brethren, do not do so wickedly. See now, I have two daughters who have not known a man. Please, let me bring them out. Do to them as you wish. Only do nothing to these men, since this is the reason they've come under the shadow of my roof. And they said, stand back. Then they said, this one came here to stay here, and he keeps acting as a judge. Now we will deal with you worse than with them. So they pressed hard against the man Lot and came near to break down the door. But the men reached out. This is like, anyone ever see the horror movie Night of the Living Dead? Where all the dead people, radiation hits the town and all these dead people start coming up out of the graves going, they're walking around blind. This is right. These are ghouls. Like Night of the Living Dead. The Lord strikes them with blindness. Look at this. And these are homosexuals demanding their rights. These are homosexuals demanding their rights. Stand back. Then they use the one thing I hear almost every day. Who are you to judge? The atheist's favorite verse. Judge not, lest ye be judged. Matthew 7:1. These guys know it well. Stand back. This one came to stay here, and he keeps acting as a judge. Now we're going to deal worse with you as we did with them. So they pressed hard against Lot and came near to break the door down. But the men reached out their hands, and they pulled Lot into the house with them and shut the door. And they struck the men who were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, and they became weary trying to find the door. Maybe we've turned to Frankenstein now. I mean, is it like all the Universal horror movies I used to watch as a kid? Because Sodom had turned to debauchery and was overrun by homosexuals. Jesus says, this is how you'll know my return is near. When things are like they were in Lot's day, when that is going on planet Earth, then you'll know my return is near. Verse 12, then the men said to Lot, have you anyone else? Son-in-law, daughters, sons and daughters, whoever you have, take them out of this place! Exclamation point. Verse 13, because we will destroy this place, because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord. The Lord has sent us to destroy it. So Lot went out, spoke to his son-in-law, who had married his daughters, and said, get up and get out of this place, because the Lord will destroy this city. But to his sons-in-laws, he appeared to be joking. Again, this is like today's newspaper, isn't it? Isn't that what they would say to you today? Well, judgment's going to come on this town because of all the homosexuals that live here. Try that one today and see what happens. Matter of fact, why don't you call up the New York Times and read that story to them? Well, judgment's going to come on San Francisco because of all the homosexuals here. And they'll chase you down the street with a hatchet. Verse 16, while he lingered, the men took hold of his hand and his wife's hand and the hands of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out and set him outside the city. So it came to pass when they had brought them outside that they said, escape for your life. Do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere in this plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed. Now this is a clue for all of us here. Two things. Number one, homosexuals out of the closet and demanding their rights. And number two, the young indoctrinated. Where do you think the young people learn this? Where do you think young people learn this debauchery? I can think of two places. Number one, from their parents. And number two, from where they went to school, which I call Sodom Elementary. They went to Sodom Elementary, where they learned it doesn't matter. Where they ask you when you're young, what sex do you want to be when you grow up? Listen, that's going to bring judgment on this earth. It's going to bring judgment to you and to your family. God makes no mistakes for how he made you. You don't decide what sex you're going to be when you grow up. God's made that decision. Homosexuality and living like this is a sin, and judgment's coming upon you. And what was a sin is a sin. And this is how you know he's coming back soon, is when the whole world is full of this. At least you're going to hear the truth for an hour here today. Out of 168 hours to the week, you're going to hear it here for 1 hour. Jesus said, when you see all of these things, remember, all of these things, what will be the sign of your coming in the end of the age? Famines, pestilences, like the coronavirus. The coronavirus has turned the world upside down. It's just that pestilence. As Jesus said, as much as a sign as anything else is pestilence. When you see pestilence destroying a nation, no, my return is near. Wars, rumors of wars. Ethnic group, black against white, is ethnos against ethnos. When you see all these things, he says, recognize, smell the coffee, that my return is near. Jesus isn't sitting in his throne anymore. He's standing, and he's getting ready to come back and invade this world again soon. His return is near. Let me ask the question this morning. Once this happens, will you be taken or will you be left? The Greek word for left behind is the word aphiemi. It's the Greek word used for a divorce. When Jesus comes back, will you be taken? Paralambano means to receive near. It means that where he is, there you may be too. In the same sentence as Lot and Noah, is two are going to be walking, minding their own business. One is going to be taken. That is to be with him. The other is going to be left behind. And is going to have their divorce certificate. Which one are you? When Jesus comes back, when this happens, will you be taken and received up into glory? Or will you receive your divorce certificate and be left behind? It's your choice. I pray you choose Jesus.
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio. And on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
Draw me to your